Live from Chicago, this is Bruce Dumont with our Beyond the Beltway analysis of national politics, featuring occasional injections of rumor and innuendo, all offered up by our panel of political insiders, pundits, power brokers, public servants, and most importantly, plain-speaking Americans from coast to coast. Tonight, featuring commentary by liberal talk show host Clifford Kelly, Democrat Tim Wright, conservative commentator Lee Newcomb, and Republican Tom Pence. Our program coming to you from our home base on State Street, that great street in Chicago where our toll-free lines are open at 1-800-723-8289. That's 1-800-723-8289. If you'd like to email us a comment, our email address is btbtalk@aol.com. And if you'd like to join us on the World Wide Web, it's www.beyondthebeltway.com. Obviously, we got a full 2 hours, lots to talk about. What happened with the Republicans yesterday in South Carolina, what's going to happen with the Democrats next week in the Palmetto State, and then, of course, all the focus of Republicans now shifting to Florida, where their primary will be held a week from Tuesday, and then just on the heels of just a week away then from Super Duper Tuesday. We'll be talking about it all. A lot of campaigns had something to be happy about. Obviously, Hillary Clinton did well in Nevada, even though Barack Obama may end up with more delegates. It was a good week for Mitt Romney. It was a good week, obviously, last night for John McCain. And again, just lots to talk about. I'd like to begin and welcome all of our guests. We've got representatives of campaigns, people with strong opinions tonight. But I would like to begin by talking about something that happened to Barack Obama this past
sure.
week. He was asked to do an interview. He was doing an interview with a newspaper in, I believe it was Reno, Nevada. And he was asked by the editorial board a question. And in response to that question, he said that once upon a time, Republicans in the 90s had all the good ideas. And then he said something fairly nice about Ronald Reagan. Hillary Clinton immediately jumped on it. John Edwards immediately jumped on it. Bill Clinton jumped on it. And it took this sort of very candid, open comment by Barack Obama and blew it into a political brouhaha for, obviously, the benefit to sort of fan the flames prior to the caucus in Nevada. Tim Wright, you're our guest tonight. You're a Democrat. You're a lawyer. You've known Bill and Hillary Clinton for a long time. Used to be an executive in the city of Chicago. First of all, nice to have you with us.
Good to be here, Bruce.
You're a strong supporter of Hillary Clinton. My question to you is, doesn't that represent exactly what Barack Obama has been talking about? That how can you have a dialogue? How can you have an open, free dialogue when something like that is pounced on and turned into a political argument by Hillary Clinton and John Edwards? How do you change the climate?
I don't know how you change a climate during an election, Bruce, to be honest with you. I mean, when you make statements like that, and it was a perplexing statement to suggest that Ronald Reagan as a change agent, and particularly given that we're running in a Democratic primary here, I think, how do we change it? I mean, if they were sitting down and had an opportunity to debate and go back and forth, that might have been one opportunity to have some kind of a discussion. I think like the last debate that they had where they sat around and had that discussion.
Cliff Kelly is a talk show host for WVON. Cliff, sure. One of the original panel members, always nice to have you here.
Thank you very much.
You like candid conversations. I mean, was this a stupid thing for Barack Obama to say, or is it an example of a new era of debate and discussion that he's trying to introduce?
Well, I think the latter is probably true, but I think, as Tim mentioned, it wasn't a wise thing to say. He tried to explain it this morning on a couple of shows, and he said that he was trying to bring people together. But when you're getting union support and you want to bring up this guy who destroyed the air traffic controllers. Yeah. You know, I mean, I just couldn't understand that. I wish he hadn't said it, because I would have done the same thing that his opponents did. They would have jumped on it. He came up with some plausible explanation, but it was after the fact, and he never would have said any of that had he not been attacked. I don't think it was a good idea.
Lee Newcomb joins us. He is our card-carrying conservative tonight, a supporter of Mike Huckabee. Your response to this? Much ado about nothing, or is it par for the course?
No, I think Hillary Clinton, John Edwards, and these two gentlemen show the problem we have in politics today.
what he said was, there was nothing wrong with that. You know, Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill went hammer and tong during the day, but could have a drink together at night and liked each other and got along well. There's nothing wrong with saying that someone you disagree with politically did a good job or was a change agent. What's wrong with that? But the fact that they have to grasp on that to be something that is divisive politically and say there's something wrong with that, that shows the problem.
Tom Pence is another Republican tonight, supports Rudy Giuliani. Was this an example of old school politics?
Well, the Clintons have always been opportunists, and they're very good with the media. So, you know, they've done this before. It's politics as usual. They see an opportunity, they take it. You know, I agree with Lee. You know what Barack Obama. And the thing, I mean, for Obama, I think it's good because Obama's you know, campaigning is the agent of change. You know, is he changing the conversation?
If he's reaching out, gentlemen, to independents, I can understand that if that's what he's trying to do. But the problem is, most of the people that are his core group think that Reagan was an agent of change. The change was negative.
Okay,
that's the problem.
But again, how about in a generational way? Another example this past week was in the debate when the question was asked for each of the three candidates, tell me a strength and a weakness. And Barack Obama had to speak first. He was the only one that answered the question. He said, well, you know, I keep kind of a messy desk and maybe I need someone to run. Everyone else said, you know, my weakness is that I'm, you know, too compassionate about people. I mean, that was Edwards. I mean, and Hillary moved in real quickly to say, well, you know, you better know how to, you know, delegate and you better know how to run things. I mean, she immediately turned it to a political advantage. And I'm wondering if people who are watching debates at home, whether they're either, you know, let's say they're partially involved in politics. I wonder if they look at something like and say, wait a minute, here's one guy answering the question, and all the other people are trying to do is make political points. Tim, a response.
You know, with respect to whether or not she took a political advantage, I think she took an opportunity to explain the difference between her and Barack. She took that opportunity to tell you what she thought it took in order to do
the
job.
What was her weakness? The question was, and again, I mean, they are not the only candidates that do it. All I'm saying is that at this point in time, with now debates, I mean, you know, two or three times a week, we're getting debates now. It seems to me that it's very difficult for anybody to give a straight answer to a question. I mean, in this particular case, Barack Obama was answering the question, and then the other people are kind of, you know, turning the screws. And the moderator in this particular case was not coming back and saying, listen, answer the questions before the House. Am I overreacting to this, or am I the only one that...
No, you're not. You're seeing what's really going on. You know, I think now here's Cliff Kelly sitting here, who is one of the top talk show hosts in Chicago.
Thank you.
Cliff has a long and storied reputation in this town, and yet, and I think you're a nice man. I'm not trying to go after you.
I appreciate that because I've listened to you a good deal.
Here it comes.
I'm sure we disagree, but my point is that he's of that generation. Politically, and Tim is too somewhat, you know, that can't let go of that thing of we got to be opposed, we got to be political enemies. What's so wrong with saying I thought Harry Truman was a terrific president?
Nothing.
He's a Democrat.
We've got a pause.
And no Republican thinks I'm a turncoat for saying that.
I want to get Cliff's response to that, but we do have to break. 1-800-723-8029. Your calls when we come back in Chicago.
You've heard the horror stories about meth. It's a powerful, dangerous, and highly addictive drug that's having a serious impact on our communities and horrible effects on families across the country. But there is reason for hope. Treatment for meth addiction is available, and it works. All it takes is someone to care. If you know someone using meth, get involved and help them get on the path to recovery. For more information, visit methresources.gov or call 800-662-HELP. Sponsored by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
It's time to stop what you're doing and go red for women.
Go red.
Start loving your heart today. Visit goredforwomen.org.
Go red.
And take the Go Red Heart Checkup. Get to know your own heart.
Go red.
The American Heart Association invites you to help stop heart disease.
Go red.
To go red for women and give your heart the love it deserves.
From Bakersfield, California to Worcester, Mass., you're listening to Beyond the Beltway, 1-800-723-8029. Thanks very much for joining us tonight. Cliff Kelly, you had a response?
Sure.
Please comment, and then we're going to move into some other
areas. I don't have a problem, Lee, with the candidate, who is a wonderful gentleman, saying that this Republican president was a good guy. It's just that that specific individual was something that I think many of his supporters would disagree with. If he'd said, for instance, Eisenhower, who I wish they would talk about what he said about the military-industrial complex, that would make sense. Mm-hmm. They both have something in common. Reagan and Obama have something in common. They have this great ability to talk to people. I was in Iowa when he came out there after the victory with his daughter and those two beautiful children.
Magic.
And let me tell you, this place went berserk. And the only thing the press missed, I heard too many talking about young whites. There were a lot of those young whites couldn't vote because they weren't even Iowans. They were from other places. Mm-hmm. But the people with the precinct buttons on that said Obama were people who were older. And it was it was just great. The other interesting thing, and I think this is what made me feel so good, there was a survey, which I'm sure you gentlemen saw. I forgot who did it. But the question was, is this country ready for an African-American president? 69% of whites said yes. 47% of blacks said yes. And that means a lot because African Americans are accustomed to what this country is about relative to racism, and they didn't really think it's ready for that.
I'm glad you brought that up because we're obviously on the eve of Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday. From a racial standpoint, what's happening in the country right now, and specifically, Tim, what's happening in the African American communities of America as it relates to this campaign? There's been a lot of negative comments in the last 2 weeks. What's happening in your view? Again, you're a strong supporter of Hillary Clinton, close friend to Bill Clinton's. You're for Hillary Clinton. Why?
I'm for Hillary Clinton because what Hillary Clinton has done. Hillary Clinton's a worker. She's been out on the issues. She's been working in the trenches. She's been getting her hands dirty on issues that we believe are important. Issues with respect to children. Issues with respect to health care. Issues with respect to economic development. I met Hillary about 15 years ago, and one of the first things that she told me was that she began to talk about what Harold Washington was doing in the city of Chicago in neighborhoods, the urban economic development programs, and how those would be important in Arkansas. You know, she brought South Shore Bank from the city of Chicago into the Delta to do economic development programs. So you ask me, why am I behind Hillary? I'm behind her because I know her. I know how hard she works. I know how intense she is. I know how focused she is. I know how long she's been out there working on the issues and trying to do something to build this country. And, you know, I think that's important.
Isn't that, Cliff Kelly, isn't that, I mean, here is an African-American lawyer in Chicago who's favoring Hillary Clinton. You know, we don't have to identify her as a white woman. Everybody knows that. But the reality is, wouldn't Dr. King be pleased of that? In other words, he isn't just for Barack Obama, because Barack Obama is going to be perhaps the first black president. Isn't that good?
I don't think Dr. King would have liked the fact that she made a statement that many felt diminished his importance in the legislation that gave us the Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act, and so forth and so on. When she said what she said relative to that, a lot of people got a little upset about it because those of us who know what happened, in fact, Harry Belafonte said it the other day at a meeting and I was with him, true enough, the president signed the legislation. You don't have to be real bright to know that. Every president has to sign the legislation. But, you know, Lyndon Johnson was not a great civil rights fighter. In 56, as a majority leader in the Senate, he stopped the civil rights. He voted against every civil rights act there was. And what would you expect, a guy from Texas, a white man from Texas? But he told Dr. King, make me sign it. Now, what he meant by that, it wasn't confrontational. He said, you go out there and create the atmosphere where I can sign it. That's what King did. Without King, there never would have been a signing of the civil rights bill. And in addition to that, When he signed it, he said that's the end of the Democratic Party in the South. He meant the Dixiecrats, of course, and he was right about that, too. That's when he went Republican.
Based on your opinion and the people that call your show, you have an immensely popular program on one of the top black talk stations in the country. If a black person is supporting Hillary Clinton, are they viewed as a sellout?
No, there are a lot of my friends that support Hillary Clinton. But Tim's a friend of mine, so... But He says he knows Hillary Clinton. Great. I know Barack Obama. I've known him before he went to the legislature. Here's a man who was the first African-American to be to chair the Harvard Law Review. He could have come back and signed Wall Street or wherever and gotten a six-figure salary. He comes back and joins a public interest law firm and goes out organizing and helping poor people. This man is real, and I know him very well. Now, if he doesn't get the nomination, obviously, I would probably support whoever does, and presumably it would be Hillary Clinton. But as far as background...
Would you agree, and I want to get reaction from everybody,
yeah,
that if Barack Obama does not make it to the Democratic nomination this year, mm-hmm, and potentially to the White House this year, the likelihood of another African-American being in that position, being so close, is perhaps decades away. Given the perfect storm into which that Barack Obama represents, a senator from Illinois who was given this national a launch, if you will, at a Democratic convention, who is successful in all ways that he's been successful. If he doesn't make it now, Tim Wright, the likelihood of a black ever being president in your lifetime is probably slim and none.
I wouldn't say that. I think he'll have another shot in 8 years.
Give me a scenario. Another shot in how many years?
In 8 years. Barack Obama has another shot in 8 years. As a U.S. senator, getting out there, doing the kind of work that Hillary has shown that can be done over time, I think he has a very good opportunity. One other second. Let me just respond to a couple of remarks with respect to Martin Luther King and that speech, because mm-hmm, I think that's one of the problems that we're having, is that people are taking comments out of context. That causes a whole lot of issues. What Hillary was talking about, mm-hmm, what Senator Clinton was talking about, was that Martin Luther King did things. All right. Not only did he give great speeches, but he actually organized people. He moved things. He had experience. He got his hands dirty. He worked in the trenches. Mm-hmm. And also that Lyndon Johnson signed the document. You know, it took all of that. Not just talking about it, but the ability to deliver it.
Well, you see,
that's the difference.
But the suggestion, let me just say this one thing, because the suggestion is that the senator has not been out there doing these things, and he has been doing it. But let me tell you something else about your candidate. It would be better for her to come on and say that than to send Bill into every black talk show station and really to upset some people, because you're talking about people not responding to questions.
Yeah.
Here's Slick Willie. Bubba knows the answer to the question before you even ask it.
But I understand.
And a lot of people are pissed off, quite frankly, and I'm one of them.
Well, you know,
he's out there. You know, this guy, Obama has to run against a tag team. And as soon as she says something, he runs out to the black community. He did that in Chicago.
Isn't one of the realities is that his credibility on that issue is better than hers? Because when she talks about Dr. King in the trenches and all the things that he did and his liaison with Lyndon Johnson, I mean, you know, when that was going on, she was for Barry Goldwater.
He was a Goldwater girl.
She was a Goldwater girl.
That's right.
She was not supportive of those things.
That's right.
And Goldwater was one of the leaders against the Civil Rights Bill. So, I mean, what is her credibility on that? The reason I ask that is Suzanne Malveau on CNN today described Hillary Clinton as a longtime civil rights activist.
Oh, please. Listen, Goldwater
maybe 30 years ago, Goldwater, but not 45 years
maybe
ago.
Maybe 30 years
Goldwater
ago.
Goldwater
made... We got to get our other guests. Lee, you had a comment in time.
I wanted to react. A few minutes ago, you asked whether or not we would have a black president. I think it's silly to say that it won't happen in our lifetime. 3 years ago, Barack Obama, well, 4 years ago, let's take it, he was nothing more than a little old state senator from Illinois. And it just so happened that the man who would probably have won the Democratic nomination to be the U.S. Senate nominee that year, who was a very wealthy Chicago area investor, he blew up in the last couple of weeks before the election when it came out about some wife abuse. That's the reason he's a United States Senator today, and then that's the reason he's been catapulted where he is. But, you know, the same things can happen politically lots of places. Well, the Republicans had a U.S. Senate nominee in Maryland 2 years ago, Michael Steele, who would have been a terrific candidate on a national ticket, but he didn't win. Republicans had a terrific candidate for governor in Ohio in Clint, Ken Blackwell, he didn't win. So depending,
I'm just saying, part of the perfect storm, there are lots of places
where a candidate can come up in the next 5 years easily.
I agree with Lee, and I think I wouldn't be surprised to see a Republican, African American Republican, rise quickly. I think it can happen.
Absolutely.
I mean, Obama did. It was a perfect storm for Obama, but. He took advantage of it too, and you got to credit him for that.
Let's go to Sally on the north side of Chicago, listening to us on WLS. Go ahead, Sally.
Hello,
you're on
gentlemen.
The air.
Yes, I'm glad that Cliff Kelly brought up Bill Clinton because I noticed that he's as aggressive as his wife in terms of campaigning. And I have a question: is there a possibility that Clinton, Hillary, can name Bill as her running mate? And if that is possible, how do you think that'll play out in the election?
Quick response.
That's not possible because the vice president has to be able to serve as a president. But whoever is the vice president is going to be number three because these are going to be co-presidents. Sally, you're absolutely right. Bill's going to be running it.
Hillary can hold her own. She's always held her own.
Yeah. Well, I wish
you know,
she'd come out in the black community and hold
her
own.
Is that when I served in administration, I said, but for Hillary, there would not have been Bill. Hillary was the life and the blood of that campaign when Bill was elected. She fought hard on issues for Ronnie Bernier.
Can she muzzle him?
Pardon?
Can she muzzle him?
I think she can do a pretty good job of doing that.
She's obviously doing a great job now.
Yeah, well, I don't know whether Bill
has as much right to be out there as anybody else, and I think he knows Hillary better than anybody else to a large extent, and to the extent that he's enthusiastic about that, I would hope that's a good thing.
We've got to pause. 1-800-723-8289. Lots of reaction to that. 1-800-723-8289. Back shortly. When was the last time someone offered you a second chance to save thousands of dollars? If you owe the IRS or state at least $15,000, American Tax Relief is offering you a second chance to eliminate up to 85% of your delinquent taxes. Thousands of honest, hardworking Americans have turned to American Tax Relief for the help they need. Look, your tax problem isn't going to go away. In fact, it's only going to get worse unless you get help. Call 1-800-449-1415 for a one-time professional fee. American Tax Relief can get you the second chance you've never had before to save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Get the second chance you deserve and save up to 85% on your delinquent taxes. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation to see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-449-1415. That's 1-800-449-1415. We'll be right back. From Austin, Texas to Seattle, Washington, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Our guest this evening, Clifford Kelly, is here. He is the host on WVON Radio in the afternoons, one of America's leading talk show hosts. Lee Newcomb also joins us. He is the recorder of McLean County in central Illinois and a card-carrying conservative. Tom Pence joins us. He is a moderate Republican. He favors Rudy Giuliani for president of the United States. Lee favors Mike Huckabee, I should have mentioned, and he is a educational marketing executive. And Tim Wright joins us. He is an attorney and a longtime friend of Bill and Hillary Clinton. And there I go again. Bill and Hillary Clinton. And again, he's with us this evening to offer his support for the campaign of Hillary Clinton. Let's take a look at the polls in South Carolina. The Democrats go to the polls next Saturday, and according to Real Clear Politics, there are 45 delegates at stake. Right at the moment, Barack Obama, this is Real Clear Politics, averaging at 42.8%, Clinton 32.3%, and John Edwards at 14%. And again, the word is that Bill Clinton has said that he's going to go to South Carolina. He's going to go door to door. Could he make the difference, Tom Pence? Do you think he could? I mean, at the moment, it looks like it's Barack Obama's to lose. That would be devastating if he were to be upset there.
I'm not so sure that Bill Clinton is an asset for his wife, myself. You know, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, how, you know, he's a little too excited about his wife running for president, it appears to me. You know, does he help her or does he hurt her? You know, people have got to vote for Hillary Clinton, not Bill Clinton. Mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton is going to be the president. And I think they may suffer some backlash, and you know, with people wondering, you know, if I'm voting for Hillary Clinton, who's going to be running the country, Bill Clinton or Hillary Clinton?
Is he an asset or a liability right now, in your view, Tim?
Right now, I think he's an asset. And I think having a former president of the United States with your campaign is, in effect, an asset. Now, there may be some issues, there may be some controversies out there, but I think Bill Clinton is going door-to-door. I mean, Hillary Clinton went door-to-door in Nevada. That's how they pull the vote out of there, all right, because they were very hands-on, an effective operation, and she talked about the issues that were near and dear to people's house. She talked about the economy. Nobody else has been talking about this economy out there. She's been talking about health care. So I think she's talking about the right things, and she's going and she's knocking on doors. And to the extent that Bill Clinton is helpful in that process, I think it adds.
Is he plus or minus?
I think he's a minus at this point. I think also what worries me, if she does get the nomination, and the Republicans are going to have a ball. You know, when they look at this guy, as the Bill and Hillary Corporation, people are wondering, you know, do you contribute to a Senate campaign if you have, within the presidential campaign, in the Clinton Library, in the Clinton Foundation, and you pay him $200,000? When he left the White House, he said he was poor, he was broke. Well, they sure aren't broke now, and they've got money coming in all kinds of places. But in addition to that, a lot of the things that are still hanging out there from the Clinton administration, Bill, not Hillary, with him being as active as he is in the campaign, well, then it's going to be a negative, if particularly in the general election. I can see him looking there now. He's salivating.
Lee,
I'm looking interested.
Lee, what about it? I mean, are you salivating about the possibility of running against Bill and Hillary Clinton? Not necessarily.
You know, that's the kind of thing I think any good Republican doesn't want to say on national radio. You know,
right. Why not?
We would love to see her nominated and him there. Mm-hmm. I hope he just shuts up for a while so she gets the nomination, and that'll be just lots of fun next year.
You think he's an asset or a liability right now?
I think he's a liability.
Because?
Because he's a loose cannon, because he does things like he's been doing the last couple of weeks that Cliff has talked about.
But whatever he's been doing, she's been winning. I mean, I don't know that that's particularly
the reason. It's kind of like the Republican side now.
He's controlling some of the media coverage, which has been somewhat negative.
It's like the Republican side now, which I'm very interested in each of those candidates, like these gentlemen are in the Democratic side. And I'm looking at candidates and saying, who's going to blow up on us after they get the nomination, which is soon after February 5th. Say middle of March, we should know our nominees, unless it goes to the convention. But if it's after the convention, who's going to blow up on us afterwards is how I'm looking at candidates. And I'm sure they got to be looking at the same thing. Who's going to blow up on us afterwards? Is it going to be Billary? mm-hmm. which may have been a slip of the tongue a few minutes ago, but that's really, I think, how people think of
him. Reason why he's an asset to that campaign. All right, because I walked the precincts out there with him in Iowa. I mean, what Bill Clinton has and what he can bring is just an incredible knowledge of organization, of operation, and of the politics. And then when you take a look at the difference in the candidates in this race, I mean, one of the things that you see is that you see a well-heeled, a well-run operation that's very effective. And I think Bill Clinton has added to that. He's able to see where there's problems. He's able to suggest solutions. Bill Clinton doesn't run this campaign.
And when he shows his temper, as he did a couple of times in the last couple of weeks, mm-hmm. when he shows that temper, doesn't he remind everybody of when he was pounding on the desk? Yes. Isn't that the image?
See, the problem is they never anticipated this. You know, they thought it was be a coronation
cakewalk.
And that was it. Yeah, cakewalk. When Obama started raising more money than they did, and they'll do anything. And I'm not saying that's bad. But, you know, don't tell me Bill Shaheen started talking about Obama selling drugs and they didn't know that. That's crap. This guy from BET, that's all orchestrated. Yeah, you can't unring the bell.
No, Cliff,
they want to make him the black candidate.
No,
that's what they are trying to do.
That's
what they are trying
that,
to do.
Cliff. All right, his
go ahead.
Own organization did that.
It's
when they started mischaracterizing what Hillary Clinton was saying and the statements that Bill was claiming, they brought the race issue in here.
I don't buy that at all.
But let me just say, you know what?
Tell me how they did that.
Well, when they began to question what she was trying to say, they put
about
together
the war,
a 4-page memo in South Carolina that was done
this,
by one
this
of the
was
staff
done
people,
before.
Right?
This was done some time ago.
Look, here's where this is going to come down. Talking heads like us and on the TV are going to blabber on about this stuff for the next 9-10 months. But the truth is, it doesn't matter what we say as partisans for Bill and Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what we say about trying to explain her away, as you've done tonight. The truth is, the average American person sitting in their easy chair at home watching TV hears the kind of things like you've been saying tonight, defending them as if there's a rational reason to do that. And they just look at the TV and say, oh, go away. That's what they're going to say in the general election when people come up and start talking about them. We all Americans know who the Clintons are. The Americans know that they are vicious, driven political people. Americans know that.
For themselves.
That's right. And Americans know that.
The votes speak.
And nothing
for themselves.
The point is,
the controversy over the last couple of weeks, has it taken this candidate with biracial appeal, a guy who wins in a state with what, less than 1% black in Iowa, does it turn him into a black candidate? When, you know, in the early part of the campaign when they're saying is Barack Obama black enough? Mm-hmm. Those discussions, isn't the long-term purpose not only to remind people that Barack Obama is black? And you know what? That might help him in South Carolina, where 50% of the primary voters are black. It might help him there. But you know what? It may hurt him in the other states.
And that's what they're willing to do. You're absolutely right.
They're going to roll the dice.
They are willing to say he's the black candidate and risk. The Clintons are willing to risk the blacks coming out in South Carolina. But after that, you won't find a state that has anywhere near 50% of the electorate being black.
Because the story out of South Carolina is if Barack Obama wins, he will win because blacks turned out, which will reinforce him as the black candidate, which potentially hurts him down the road.
Yeah, and it's unfair because we haven't done that. The Clinton campaign has not done that. In fact, the only place...
Yeah, that's right. When Andrew Cuomo said a shuck and jive a couple
shuck
weeks
ago,
the only place where people are talking about is Barack black enough, or was on Cliff Kelly's program and programs like that. That discussion wasn't out in the full community. That was mostly taking place on black radio.
I said it on a TV show.
We never raised that issue.
I said it on a TV show. But I mentioned, in fact, show me somebody who's black.
But you know what? It didn't come out of us. We've never run
that's
this
not the
race
point. This
based
is happening,
on race.
This is happening now. Okay. Don't tell me when you get...
And we've tried to back off of that, Cliff, really, because that's not the debate that we want to have.
As a lawyer...
We want to have
as
a debate
lawyer,
about
you,
the issues.
As a lawyer, you say something. As a lawyer, you say something that you know is inappropriate. Once the objection has been sustained, then the judge tells the jury, disregard that. You can't unring the bell.
Who's we?
They know that. They know exactly that.
Who's we?
Excuse me?
This is not the kind of campaign we want to run. Let me tell you what this campaign
is. I think we as
Americans. It isn't the campaign any of us want. It's the campaign that one or two people are going to make the decision of what they want as a campaign, and that's Bill and Hillary Clinton. They make the decision, and when Cuomo says shuck and jive, and when Clinton goes out and says the things he wants, they know what's going on, and we all know that they know what's going on. They are people who are ruthless political people who will do anything to win. That's what this is about.
No, I think this is about a campaign. It's about issues. It's about values. These are things that are being represented out there.
It's about winning, Jim. It's about winning. One of the things I loved about Hillary Clinton when her husband was in the White House was this universal health care. We are the only industrialized nation that does not have it.
Which is why we have the best health care system.
But, well, I totally disagree with that. But the point I'm making is the people she was fighting at that time are now contributing to her. And that, obviously, she's not going to be pushing one of my favorites.
And they're not contributing to Barack?
But I tell you, no.
Yeah.
No, they're not. The Kennedys, Senator Kennedy and Rahm Emanuel, have both said, you know, it's hurting the party. And this so-called truce
the,
is
the
a joke.
Bill Clinton
this,
is hurting
this fight, in recent
this fight
weeks. Between, yeah,
right.
Yeah. This last week has been disastrous.
Was this, in your view, was this perpetuated by the Obama campaign, as Hillary Clinton alleged on Meet the Press, or was this really more of the media responding? Because Bill Clinton, when he talked, when he gave the fairy tale line, mm-hmm. he knew how the media would react to it.
Sure did. And you know, it's easy to say, and this is true. Barack said that he didn't vote for the war. He wasn't in the Senate. And it's very easy to say that if you're not there. But then, once the troops are there, a lot of people who voted against the war said we have to support the troops because they're there. But there are 24 senators didn't vote for it, and she wasn't one of them.
We got to pause. 1-800-723-8289. Lots of calls. We'll go to them when we come back from Chicago.
For free confidential small business advice, call SCORE at 800-634-0245 or log on to score.org. Every year, thousands of people get help from SCORE when starting or growing their companies, and you can be one of them.
My SCORE counselor taught me how to create a business plan and make sound financial projections so that I could get a small business loan. I don't think I could have approached my bank so confidently without SCORE's help.
SCORE mentors can help with business planning, cash flow management, and market analysis.
My SCORE mentor walked me through the steps of identifying a market, researching the competition, pricing my product, and so much more.
Call SCORE at 800-634-0245 to meet with experts who have been in your shoes.
All I really needed was a sounding board for my ideas, someone I could trust. My SCORE counselor talked me through my business questions and gave me the courage I needed to expand.
If you're a small business owner or thinking about starting a company, call SCORE today, 800-634-0245, or visit score.org for free confidential advice. SCORE is a nonprofit association and a resource partner with the U.S. Small Business Administration.
From Sacramento, California to Spartanburg, South Carolina, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway. Let's go to Chicago where Edward is listening to us on WLS. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yes, how you doing? Great show.
Thank you.
Pat Buchanan was talking on the McLaughlin group that Mr. Obama would be falling into a trap if he started talking about race instead of about the issues. And he's kind of right. Other than him being against the Iraq war, I haven't really heard any substance on any specific issues. Have you guys?
Well, you know, you're right on that. I think Pat was right. I saw that. That's what they want to do is take him off of message. And I think they've succeeded in that. Lee here on the panel just said during our break that we've done all this time talking about the politics without the policy. And that's exactly right. Now, there's a lot out there. All the candidates have position papers, but they don't talk about that on all these shows.
The vulnerability that I am seeing of Obama, and he is the candidate I would least like to get it, because I think he's an incredibly attractive candidate. The vulnerability with him is because he has become such a spectacular candidate, is he's not talking about issues. And it isn't that other people aren't making him, he's not talking about issues. And when his true political opinions come out, I think people are going to take a second look, because his opinions are not mainstream American.
I heard him make three speeches in Iowa, and they were mainstream American. People loved it, which is why
I think as long as he can talk about hope and the future and all that, people love him.
But don't
he was talking about some specific.
But again, if people are gravitating to that, if 20,000 people are showing up, if they're cheering, if the polls are still doing well, even though he's got to win a primary or two more. What's wrong with that? He is connecting with people.
He is connecting with people, and as a Republican, you know, he wins this thing. You know, it's a tidal wave. He's very charismatic. I've heard him speak a couple times, and he does talk about some issues that are big issues with Democrats. He's talking about health care.
Right.
But he's the agent of change. He's the change candidate, and I think he's going to keep hammering that that point down. And you know, he could be a very, very tough candidate to beat if he gets rolling.
And also, just to go back to something we've talked about a little bit, because of some of this growing animosity between the Obama camp and the Clinton campaign, does everybody agree at the table that it is not likely that either one of them would select the other person to be a running mate?
If she's the nominee, I can't see how she could deny it to him.
I don't know whether it's likely or not. I think there's going to be an analysis of what it takes to win the general election. But look, let me say this. There's no animosity. I said most of my friends are with Obama. Most of his friends are with us, all right? And so we're going to go through this process. We're going to talk about the issues. We're going to try to make sure they're not misconstrued.
But you're professional politicians. I'm talking about the people that are being drawn to this campaign, either because they're young, they like Obama's words. Are we getting close at all because of the tone of the campaign and the way it's evolving? Are we getting to a point where this may be tough? This is out of the bottle, and it's going to be tough to be put back to bring everybody together for the general election.
Well, that's exactly what Senator Kennedy was hoping would not happen.
Right.
And that you'd have some.
You
damage.
Think it's a problem? You've been involved in
a lot
of campaigns.
I do think it's a problem.
Your
question
problem.
Relative to whether they could be running mates, I don't think that would ever happen. Nor do I think it would be a good thing. I mean, that's asking for quite a bit.
Obama,
you know, the first woman and the first African American.
Obama would not choose Clinton. I think Clinton could choose Obama, but I think it's very unlikely. But,
well, you know,
but there's no way the National Democratic Party,
anybody
if Obama
who's
wins,
vice president would have to be there, have their head examined,
right?
Because
yeah.
Bill Clinton is
exactly,
going to be the vice
and that's
president.
Why, exactly.
I know what somebody told me.
I think it may be Evan Bayh, because I don't think Evan Bayh has ego drive.
Right.
He's sort of a Casimir milquetoast.
Yeah.
He's probably the
not like
potential.
His dad at all.
No.
No, his father was great, but he's
look,
not.
Look, I want to emphasize this point about the danger. I think we are dangerously close to having that kind of problem. I think these Democrats are going to have to come together, because we have some Republican candidates out there who really haven't spoken on the issues either. But I think that what we have to be very careful about is that we don't push this thing so far mm-hmm. that we're unable to come together, because mm-hmm. there's an important mission out there. And you know what? When we talk about Obama style and maybe talking about hope and these kind of things, all he did was take a page out of George Bush's campaign, where where he never spoke about anything specific. He said that he was going to bring us a kinder and a gentler president. Yeah. And with the stuff that has occurred in the last 8 years, I have seen nothing kinder and gentler. So there's going to be a change.
Well, it was kinder and gentler until September 11th. Yeah.
What we need to see is to tell the person who wants to be co-president, he really ought to cool it. Because he is, I mean, people are attacking not only her, but they're attacking his administration. Mm-hmm. You know, this so-called black president, and people are going down talking about, yeah, there are more people in prison as a result of his three strikes. I mean, you could go on ad infinitum about the things
gonna
he
have
did.
She's going to have to run her record as a senator his record as a president, and that will not help her.
Yeah.
You know what, and I agree.
Well, let me say one other thing. What this has done, the Democrats have outpolled Republicans in all these primaries.
Absolutely.
I mean, they have come out in mass, and that's, because of Obama.
Polling now means nothing.
I don't mean polling. I mean going to the polls.
Okay.
Polling
means nothing. If polling were at all accurate at this time, Rudy Giuliani would be the Republican nominee today.
I agree. I'm talking about turnout. Polling.
Right.
Not polling.
Well, we're glad polling isn't working, huh?
Is there any issue in your view, based on this growing tension that may be out there, at least as of the moment, do you think it is endangering her electability in any way, Hillary's electability, Tim?
Well, I think when all Democrats aren't able to come together, mm-hmm. and in a general election, I certainly think that there are some issues there. But I think that from the standpoint of Senator Barack and Senator Clinton and the other, you know, one of the things that we really haven't talked about
is that we've had
an extraordinary group of candidates on the Democratic side to run for president. I think they'll come together and make the difference.
We're going to talk more about it in the next hour. If you're listening to us on radio, we got another full hour. If you're watching us on television, we'll see you next week. Cliff Kelly, Tom Pence, Tim Wright, and Lee Nookum, we thank you all for joining us. Again, if you're watching on television, we'll see you next week, and we'll be talking about what happened next Saturday in South Carolina and looking ahead to the Florida Republican primary, which will be the focus of the second hour of our radio broadcast tonight, coming up in about 8 minutes. When was the last time someone offered you a second chance to save thousands of dollars? If you owe the IRS or state at least $15,000, American Tax Relief is offering you a second chance to eliminate up to 85% of your delinquent taxes. Thousands of honest, hardworking Americans have turned to American Tax Relief for the help they need. Look, your tax problem isn't going to go away. In fact, it's only going to get worse unless you get help. Call 1-800-449-1415. For a one-time professional fee, American Tax Relief can get you the second chance you've never had before to save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Get the second chance you deserve and save up to 85% on your delinquent taxes. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation to see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-449-1415. That's 1-800-449-1415.
For free confidential small business advice, call SCORE at 800-634-0245 or log on to score.org. Every year, thousands of people get help from SCORE when starting or growing their companies, and you can be one of them.
My SCORE counselor taught me how to create a business plan and make sound financial projections so that I could get a small business loan. I don't think I could have approached my bank so confidently without SCORE's help.
SCORE mentors can help with business planning, cash flow management, and market analysis.
My SCORE mentor walked me through the steps of identifying a market, researching the competition, pricing my product, and so much more.
Call SCORE at 800-634-0245 to meet with experts who have been in your shoes.
All I really needed was a sounding board for my ideas, someone I could trust. My SCORE counselor talked me through my business questions and gave me the courage I needed to expand.
If you're a small business owner or thinking about starting a company, call SCORE today, 800-634-0245, or visit score.org for free confidential advice. SCORE is a nonprofit association and a resource partner with the U.S. Small Business Administration.
It's time to stop what you're doing and go red for women.
Go red.
Start loving your heart today. Visit goredforwomen.org.
Go red.
And take the Go Red Heart Checkup. Get to know your own heart.
Go red.
The American Heart Association invites you to help stop heart disease.
Go Red!
To Go Red for Women and give your heart the love it deserves.
My name is Teresa. I was a good mother. Then I tried meth and quickly became addicted. I abandoned my little girl to chase my next high. 8 months later, my daughter begged me to come home. Her plea made me enter drug treatment. My recovery wasn't easy, but I've been clean for 4 years now.
Meth is a powerful drug that affects everyone. If you know someone who's using, get involved. Treatment is available and it works. For more information, visit methresources.gov or call 800-662-HELP. Sponsored by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Live from Chicago, this is Bruce Dumont. We continue with our Beyond the Beltway analysis of national politics. Tonight featuring commentary by liberal talk show host Clifford Kelly, Democrat Tim White, conservative commentator Lee Newcomb, Republican Tom Pence, and Professor Susan McManus from the University of South Florida. And we will hear from her a little bit later on in the broadcast. 1-800-723-8289 is the phone number. We're going to be talking about Republicans in just a few moments and their prospects for making it all the way to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. But following up on our first hour, Senator Barack Obama said he's ready to confront former President Bill Clinton, calling his advocacy on behalf of his wife's presidential campaign troubling. In an exclusive interview with ABC News' Robin Roberts, which is going to air tomorrow morning on Good Morning America, Obama directly engages Bill Clinton on a series of issues. You know, the former president, who I think all of us have a lot of regard for, has taken his advocacy on behalf of his wife to a level that I think is pretty troubling. He continues to make statements that are not supported by the facts, whether it's about my record of opposition to the war in Iraq or our approach to organizing in Las Vegas. This has become a habit, and one of the things that we're going to have to go directly to confront Bill Clinton when he's making statements that are not factually accurate, end of quote, Barack Obama. So the gloves are off. Looking forward to watching that tomorrow, and I'm sure it'll be the focus of a lot of discussion. Looking ahead to the Republicans, a question that I would like to ask our Republicans in looking at the results yesterday where John McCain eked out a victory over Mike Huckabee. Lee, you're for Mike Huckabee. Were you devastated by the results? What's your analysis of the results? And does Mike Huckabee have enough gas in the tank to go much further in this race?
Well, the results of the race are something that we have seen on a local level that, unfortunately, we've got, you know, McCain winning with only 23% of the vote, but the conservative Republican vote between Huckabee, Romney, and somewhat Giuliani is nearly 60% of the vote. So McCain is not a candidate of tremendous strength, but he is being helped by the fact that we've got so many that are appealing to the same base. That's the problem. And obviously Thompson took some of that. So the problem we've got is to get some of these candidates out so that McCain can be beaten with a candidate who can win the general election. Many of us feel that McCain is by far our weakest candidate. It's another Bob Dole candidacy. He's not going to be competitive in the general. He's not going to carry the base of the Republican Party, and he is by far the most troubling candidate. I can see any one of the other major candidates winning the general election, but he's our loser, he's our Bob Dole, and the problem is we're splitting the vote between several other good candidates.
Tom Pence, you are for Rudy Giuliani. Your assessment of Lee's assessment?
I couldn't agree more with Lee. John McCain is our weakest candidate. John McCain, great patriot,
yes.
Served our country well. But he is our weakest candidate.
He's yesterday.
He almost, if you remember correctly, he almost ran for vice president with John Kerry. Okay? So, I mean, he's the Republicans that the Democrats love. They want to run against him. They know they can beat him. Mayor Giuliani, you know, he is totally engaged in Florida. His record will speak for itself. He's got a great plan to cut taxes. He's gonna cut tax the biggest tax cut ever in the history of our country. He's proposing. He's been tough on crime. He wants to fight terrorism. You know, now McCain has somebody that's going to go after his part of the vote.
To me, the results of South Carolina reinforced what my gut has been telling me for about the last 2.5 to 3 weeks, and that is
Fred Thompson is a ringer. Fred Thompson got in this race. Everybody was wondering. First of all, it took him a long time to get into the race. And then once he got into the race, he still had to get up to speed. And then all the stories were about how tired he was, you know, basically phoning it in. I mean, it seems to me that in the recent debates, he spent one debate going after Giuliani, talking about Sanctuary City. He did another debate where he really went after Huckabee. And then he went after Romney in the next debate. And then certainly he has spent the last basically 10 days in South Carolina, campaigning exclusively in the areas which was the strength of what would have been the evangelical base, and he did his job. And now when he announced last night he's going home to see his mother. He's not going on to Florida. I think he's done his job. I think he's in the tank with John McCain.
Well, and I think you know that was for Huckabee. You know he won only 41% of evangelical vote in South Carolina, which I don't think was good for Huckabee. We're talking about a national campaign, and you know everybody's been criticizing Giuliani's strategy for targeting certain states and leaving other states alone. But it's all about the delegates and the delegates that you have when you get to the convention. And you know, when Giuliani wins Florida and he gains that momentum, you know, we're going to see the national media is going to be on Florida. Giuliani will get his message out. He's got the money to get his message out, and you'll see his numbers go up in Florida.
But in looking at the math here, you basically have a four way race because Thompson is a non factor. He hasn't realized that. I understand he may be getting out this week. Duncan Hunter's already out. But if you look at Florida, McCain currently, by the way, according to the Real Clear Politics poll, McCain is at 23.2, Giuliani at 20.3, Romney at 18, and Huckabee at 17.3. I would argue right now that if you have McCain and Giuliani going after each other, and if you have McCain and Giuliani and Romney, or Romney going after Giuliani and McCain, and you have varying degrees of national security Republicans and economic Republicans, if they're dividing the vote up three ways, the guy who may win this is Huckabee. Huckabee, mathematically, mm-hmm. maybe all alone, because the evangelicals, and by the way, you get to the panhandle of Florida, that's a very conservative state. That's a lunch bucket state. That's a state, these are Kmart Republicans. And I think because of the populist message of Mike Huckabee, I think Huckabee could surprise everybody and end up winning the Florida primary.
You know, I think there's a couple of unfair raps on Huckabee that should he get to the point as the leader, they will have to fall away as he gets a little better known. And that is this constant rap on him on evangelical, evangelical, evangelical. I mean, how many times in this program has the word evangelical been spoken? Well, the truth is, he didn't get the majority of the evangelical vote in South Carolina. His appeal is much broader based. And when he speaks and when the country starts to take notice of this man, they have somewhat. When the media stops with the constant evangelical, evangelical, evangelical,
well, but
he's much broader based than that.
He brings it on himself, though, because he talks about it
somewhat.
Tim, I want to ask you a question, because you're coming out of the Harold Washington movement. I mean, you know a thing about triangulation and how do you win three-way primaries. Give your assessment of this sort of four-way Republican primary that I've just given in Florida. Am I mathematically maybe onto something here?
No, I think you are. And in fact, I too see Huckabee as a sleeper right here. I think, Huckabee has some other issues. Huckabee doesn't have organization. Huckabee doesn't have an ability to play throughout February 5th in all the different states out there. So that's going to be a limiting factor for Huckabee.
I want to get everybody's response.
Giuliani.
Go ahead, make the point. And then,
the last thing about Giuliani is that I think, if Giuliani is careful, he's banked everything on Florida. He is going to end in Florida, too.
Taxes are important in Florida. Huckabee has a bad record raising taxes. Giuliani's proposing the biggest tax cut in the history of our country.
Back shortly from Chicago.
You've heard the horror stories about meth. It's a powerful, dangerous, and highly addictive drug that's having a serious impact on our communities and horrible effects on families across the country. But there is reason for hope. Treatment for meth addiction is available, and it works. All it takes is someone to care. If you know someone using meth, get involved and help them get on the path to recovery. For more information, visit methresources.gov or call 800-662-HELP. Sponsored by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
It's time to stop what you're doing and go red for women.
Go red.
Start loving your heart today. Visit goredforwomen.org.
Go red.
And take the Go Red Heart Checkup. Get to know your own heart.
Go red.
The American Heart Association invites you to help stop heart disease.
Go red.
To Go Red for Women and give your heart the love it deserves.
As Vice President. Bruce Dumont, back. Thanks very much for joining us tonight. We're talking about the Republican primary, and we were talking about Rudy Giuliani, and I think, Tim, you were making the point, Rudy Giuliani must win in Florida. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Do you agree with that, Tom Pence?
I think he's got to make a good showing, and I think he will. I mean, the polls show that you know, it's pretty much a dead heat between the four of them. I think, you know, Giuliani's always had the same strategy. You know, there's 1,000 delegates up on February the 5th. There's
1,081.
And if you look at the national polls, Giuliani still polls well nationally. He's well known. He can run on his record, which is something that I think his opponents cannot do. And so... Does he need a win? Yeah, he needs a win. Everybody needs a win.
In Florida, by the way, it's Republicans only. The Republicans are going to have the primary, but independents cannot vote. So that is a sector that's been supportive of McCain that's not going to be there for McCain. But McCain has always run well with the older senior candidates. The state is massive seniors. So he's got a plus with them. There are also, I believe I read, the second largest state with retired military people. He did very well in South Carolina, which is the first state. So that's another piece of sort of the constituency that he may do well with. And Rudy, of course, another element, there's a lot of transplanted
New Yorkers, New Jersey.
And also it's the first state of states that have voted where there's a fairly large pocket of Italians throughout the state.
And I may have made this point
before
the break, but again, Florida is a state that doesn't have an income tax, right?
Right.
They don't have an income tax. People move there because they don't like to be taxed.
Right. And his position, he's got the strongest position out there.
He's got the strongest position right now in taxes, and the other candidates really don't have a strong position.
Our Democrats during the break were saying they like John McCain. So Lee Newcomb, explain to the Democrats on the panel, why is it that thus far in the states where Republicans have had an opportunity to show their support for John McCain, including in South Carolina, John McCain doesn't win the core of the Republican vote? Why do Republicans, so many Republicans, loathe John McCain?
Well, first of all, what I mentioned earlier is we have to look at the fact that McCain is not winning majorities. He's winning with, 19-20% of the vote because there's so many candidates.
Right.
The majority of the party, just 60-80%, reject John McCain.
66% in South Carolina voted against him.
Exactly, because he has been poking it in our eyes for the last 15-20 years. He was the person who, with McCain-Kennedy on education, with McCain-Lieberman on this radical environmentalism. He continues to pound on the radical environmentalism.
Russ Feingold.
McCain-Feingold, where he has destroyed campaign financing and brought all the big money and all the worst possible things that could happen in
money
and politics.
Illegal immigration.
He was the one, Rick Santorum has told us, that behind the scenes was telling Republicans that we were a bunch of xenophobic racists because we wanted to build the fence. He has gone against us and against us and against us in everything. So the base doesn't like him, and the base won't work for him.
And
he is Bob Dole. He is a weak, old candidate who will be Bob Dole in the general.
Also, keep in mind, now, does that answer the question for the Democrats?
I just don't agree with it.
I can't believe these people are supporting him. The Democrats like him.
Also, but he forgot the biggest one. The biggest one is
Democrats like him.
No, John McCain is the darling of the national news media. He has spent the last 20 years kissing their butt. Why? Because the national media, you know what they love more than anyone? Whether they're a Republican or a Democrat, they love turncoats. They love people who turn on their own parties.
Well,
I think he can walk on water.
I think, and you know what?
They're the same national news media that gave the Republicans Bob Dole.
There's an Illinois Republican.
If the Republicans are stupid enough to do it again, deserve him.
There's an Illinois Republican who's retiring that I think a lot about, Ray LaHood. Ray LaHood is, I think, a good congressman. And in fact, he and Senator Durbin, when Durbin was in the House, they talked about doing away with the Electoral College and a lot of other things. LaHood said the other day that he hates the fact that the congressmen don't get along. He used to be the one to plan the picnics where all of the congressmen
mm-hmm.
would come together with their children and all. And then people stopped coming. And then delay came in and all this hate came. I think that's why a lot of people, and this is what I think Obama brings to a lot of folks, getting away from this just partisan politics. If you're in the other party, whatever you do is wrong. And I think that's why a lot of Democrats think McCain has done some good things. I think the gentleman, he's been through a whole lot, obviously. But he's done a lot of things that I think are good for us.
Well, let me tell you, as a Republican, what I want. I want a champion for our values who's going to take it to the Democrats and say what the Democrats want to do, which is raise your taxes, destroy our economy, destroy us in the world by removing us from Iraq so that we can get into the worldwide explosion of jihadism against the United States. The two Democrats that will be our nominee will be the two people who will help to ruin the future of this country, and we need a Republican nominee who's going to take it to them.
The economy's not doing real well now. If you haven't looked.
It's not because of the gross overspending of Republicans.
But has McCain stayed with the war? He didn't switch.
Yes.
He's totally stayed with the war.
He's on the war.
You mentioned that.
And don't even talk about the deficit, because then it would have here's to talk the track about record again, too.
That's here, right. Here's the track record. War hero George Herbert Walker Bush ran against Bill Clinton, and Bill Clinton beat him. War hero number one loses. Then Bill Clinton, the draft dodger, runs against
the war hero
Bob Dole, loses again. The American people don't vote for war heroes.
No, they
period.
Vote for the economy.
They voted for Eisenhower.
They don't. Healthcare.
That was 60 years ago.
Well, they voted for Eisenhower. And let me tell you, I think it has a lot to do with the ability to get your message out. Looking at Bob Dole was about as exciting as watching paint dry. I think McCain does a little better than that. I really do.
He won't in a general.
No.
Okay.
Nope.
But you know what? I'm just so
I should I be happy because I think he would.
We were talking about Barack embracing or talking about Reagan. You were all for that. But now that McCain votes and goes along with a couple of Democrats, he's a traitor. I mean, can you make that consistent?
It has nothing to, this gets back to this thing we talked about at the very beginning of the first hour when we talked about the fact that some of the old folks like you can't get over this we're enemies. It's about issues.
Thank you.
It's about issues. It's about what you care about and what you think the direction of the country should be, not whether I like you or dislike you or think you're a good guy or a bad guy. It's about, are we going to cut taxes or raise taxes? Are we going to have a presence in the world protecting the United States or not?
Are we going to
socialize American health care, or are we going to make it free?
What is it at this moment? What is it in your view? Now, by the way, I'm going to ask you to go beyond your partisan position. You're for Mike Huckabee, as I mentioned, Lee. You're for Rudy Giuliani. What is at this moment? Can you step beyond your partisanship? What is it about Romney that makes him either viable or not viable as the Republican nominee? If the economy is emerging as the issue, doesn't he and hasn't he demonstrated more acumen for the economy than anybody else running?
Well, I think the problem with Romney is he says what people want to hear in the state that he's in. You know,
I don't know if that's necessarily true.
The thing I'll say about Romney is I don't think he's a viable candidate for a number of reasons. He changes his positions on key issues quite a bit. Second thing is, you know, look at his record as governor of Massachusetts. Look how many times he's raised taxes and fees in his leadership position. What did he do? He raised taxes and fees. We don't need to raise taxes in our country right now.
Is his big problem that he's not likable?
No, I think he's very likable. I think he's an attractive candidate. I just think that, you know, he's all over the place with his positions. Is he pro-life or is he pro-choice? I don't know.
You're absolutely right. I've heard a lot of people talk about that. He's like a Ken doll. That the guy's not for real. He looks like something right out of Central Casting.
Can you acknowledge that Rudy Giuliani is real?
No.
You don't think he's real?
Well, yeah, he's real. I take that. He is real. He's real about having his girlfriend and his wife living in the Gracie Mansion.
Yeah, okay.
He's real. The firemen hate him because of some things he did. He's got a lot of problems.
Time Magazine Man of the Year.
Yeah, yeah.
Has any Republican ever been named Man of the Year?
I have no idea. I don't think so.
Giuliani, to me, is a candidate that brings into the general. He's the potential candidate, to me, that blows up on us.
Yeah.
Why?
I think so, too.
Because here's my basic thing. When a man has an affair on his wife and is therefore lying to the most important person in his life, his wife, and then he holds a press conference to announce that he's divorcing her and she has to go to the gate of Gracie Mansion and face the phalanx of reporters and news cameras to respond tearfully to the fact that her husband, the mayor, has just announced that he is divorcing her, I believe that in a general, the women in America are going to have a hard time voting for a man that did that to his wife.
But here we go again, not talking about issues, talking about people's personal
lives. That comes to character, not just personal lives. That comes to character. Now, if he is the nominee, I agree with you that when it comes to taxes, when it comes to health care plan, when it comes to the man that can stand at the microphone and really talk about the war against terrorism, talk about what he would do in government, talk about the incredible record he has from New York City, which is better than probably any other candidate running in terms of what he's done in government. Well, he is the strongest candidate. He is a great candidate.
He has a lot of
problems. We've got to pause.
I'm worried about him.
I think an issue here is he may be the strongest candidate if he's running against Hillary Clinton. If Barack Obama ends up with the Democratic nomination, I don't think there's anybody in the Republican Party yet that's figured out how you do that. I think that's a roll of the dice. Back shortly from Chicago. When was the last time someone offered you a second chance to save thousands of dollars? If you owe the IRS or state at least $15,000, American Tax Relief is offering you a second chance to eliminate up to 85% of your delinquent taxes. Thousands of honest, hardworking Americans have turned to American Tax Relief for the help they need. Look, your tax problem isn't going to go away. In fact, it's only going to get worse unless you get help. Call 1-800-449-1415. For a one-time professional fee, American Tax Relief can get you the second chance you've never had before to save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Get the second chance you deserve and save up to 85% on your delinquent taxes. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation to see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-449-1415. That's 1-800-449-1415. Chris Dumont back in Chicago. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Clifford Kelly is here. He is a talk show host for WVON Radio. Tim Wright is here. He is a supporter of Hillary Clinton and has known Bill and Hillary Clinton for a long, long time, back into the early 1991, I think, when you first met them down in Little Rock, Arkansas. Lee Newcomb also joins us. He is the recorder of McLean County. That's in central Illinois. And Tom Pence joins us. He is an executive, education marketing executive. He favors Rudy Giuliani for the Republican nomination. And as we mentioned, our Mike Huckabee supporter tonight is Lee Newcomb. Joining us on the phone right now is Dr. Susan McManus. She is professor of public administration and political science at the University of South Florida, and she's one of the Sunshine State's leading political analysts for WFLA in Tampa. That's the NBC affiliate. Susan, thanks very much for being with us tonight.
Thank you. I think I'm warmer than you are.
Oh, yes, you are, and you certainly are in the hot spot of American politics at the moment and will be for the next couple of weeks. At this moment in time, obviously, in a state the size of Florida, you've got a lot of polls that are swirling around there, but give us a headline as we head into the Florida primary. What's the headline at the moment insofar as the, you know, the body politic? What's on everybody's mind down there?
Florida to the rest of the nation, pay attention to us at last.
Okay.
We've had so much controversy over the parties not counting the delegates and all of that kind of brouhaha that Floridians are really feeling like they're going to get their day in the sun and none too soon.
Nationally, we have heard that Rudy Giuliani obviously is putting all of his eggs in that basket, has been for quite some time, and really had the playing field down there all to himself. He said, last evening, he invited everybody else to come on down. They're all down there. Once upon a time, Giuliani, as I understand, had a fairly significant lead. How has that lead dissipated?
Well, with each impending and successive primary and caucus, new winners have produced poll shifts in Florida, and obviously you see a lot of the previously undecided starting to sort out to the candidates, and it kind of shifting from one week to the next. And it's very volatile. I think you'd have to describe Florida's electorate right now, particularly on the Republican side, as quite fluid and very much wanting to be courted and sold on the part of these candidates. You know, Floridians, Republicans say, you know, give us your best shot and let us make up our minds.
What's the undecided level at the moment, figure that you've seen?
Oh, you know, 12-13% normally, but even the ones who support candidates, it isn't really that strong of a support. We're a state that depends a lot on TV ads, and Romney has had ads up the longest. Giuliani has just put some up. I just saw one a while ago. And Huckabee's had one or so. And so we expect to be bombarded on the airwaves. And a lot of Floridians will get a chance to see these candidates up close and personal in their own backyards.
We have heard, obviously, for the last several months that one of the reasons why Giuliani put all of his eggs in that basket was because of the number of transplanted New Yorkers that are in the state, primarily on the eastern seaboard, and also, obviously, a large Jewish population that had a strong affinity for him when he was the mayor of New York City. What is the strength of those two votes in a Republican primary?
Well, not as big as you might think, but on the other hand, Giuliani benefits in this state from a sizable support within the Cuban community, which is a big part of the primary electorate. But he also benefits from Florida voters' concern about security and their high regard for executives and crisis management following Jeb Bush's tenure as governor. Republicans really look for that. Security and crisis management, which Giuliani is really touting that all over the state, and a strong stand against taxes. We have a big constitutional amendment that's a property tax reduction going on the ballot the same day as we have the primary votes.
Now, John McCain, when he has run thus far this year, he has done very well with with older voters and also with retired military folks. Obviously, most people know there's a lot of retirees in the state of Florida. Does he get an edge with that vote, or are there other issues that are associated with him that maybe would make them a little lukewarm towards him?
Well, he certainly will get a lot of military support here. Not only do we have numerous retirees, we have 20-some military installations, a lot of active duty military,
right,
as well. So he will definitely get a look there. And this is a state that leans very much on the patriotic side, very pro-troops. So McCain obviously benefits tremendously from the win in South Carolina the other night. The problem he does have is that our independents cannot vote. This is a closed primary state. Only registered Republicans can vote in the Republican primary, and the same on the other side of the aisle.
Now, your former governor, Jeb Bush, was very popular to the very end. What is he doing, and where is the apparatus of the Jeb Bush, a gubernatorial administration? Are they gravitating to one candidate over another, or are they split up?
They're split up, but some of his very strong supporters are with the Romney campaign, which makes them have a very good chance in Florida, too. Right now, polls are showing that four candidates are clustered within margin of error: Giuliani, McCain, Romney, and Huckabee. So it's a dead heat, and it'll be a fierce battle till the end in this state.
I said about 10 minutes ago on this program, I offered an assessment. I want to hear from the expert as to whether you think it holds any water at all. But in looking at McCain and Giuliani, as you know, obviously they have been talking about national security, that they may end up, you know, splitting an electorate. And when you're talking about the economic issues, depending on how successful Giuliani is able to make that point, maybe he and Romney, you know, end up splitting that vote, because it's certainly there's stronger positions than maybe McCain on that issue. And that if you look at primarily a four-way race, the guy that may end up sort of mathematically maybe in a good spot is McCain, Giuliani, and Romney split sort of the moderate conservative vote or the economic conservative vote. The guy that might do best and end up winning is Huckabee if he can galvanize the evangelicals and the value voters, which, as I understand it, they live primarily in the panhandle and in the northern part of the state.
Right, and they're not very large, so I don't think that Huckabee will be the winner in this state because he has another problem, his position on taxes. Okay. And Florida is a very anti-tax state, and with this property tax reduction amendment going on the ballot and the governor, the Republican Chris, very popular, advertising for people to vote for this property tax relief measure, you know, all the other candidates are going to point to Huckabee's tax issues. And the bottom line is, we've seen even in the earlier primaries, these evangelicals are splitting their votes too. But let me say one more thing. I think that some of the Republican vote is going to be dictated by the Democratic primary winner in South Carolina next Saturday. Because if it looks like Hillary is going to be non-stoppable after that, then Giuliani's argument that he has the best shot at running against her may win him a few votes. We just don't know. But I don't think the Huckabee argument that you have really works here, because the evangelical vote is simply not that big in Florida.
All right, you're the expert. I'm just offering my two cents from Chicago.
That's great.
Cliff Kelly is here. He's got a question for you.
Yeah, hi. How you
doing?
Susan
McManus.
Good.
Hi,
Susan. Thank you. I'd like to know if Romney's religious situation has anything to do. And also, you mentioned the Cuban community is very supportive of Giuliani. Can you respond to both of those, please, Susan?
Absolutely. There, of course, you know, polling on race and religion are the two hardest things, because people tend to give socially desirable answers. The polls have not shown a great backlash against Romney's religion, but it's certainly gets mentioned in just about every story, so it's certainly there for somebody who that's going to make a difference for. In terms of the Cuban vote in South Florida, Rudy's very popular. He spent a lot of time there. He went to a parade this last weekend where there were thousands of people and people calling out his name. And I think some of his appeal there is his toughness and the terrorism linkage. And, of course, you still have a lot of anti-Castro sentiment, particularly among the high turnout Cuban voters.
Governor Crist, you mentioned him. He's very popular. Is he supporting anybody, or is likely to do it?
He is probably not likely to do it, even though every candidate has visited him every time they've hit the state, and they're hoping they'll be the one to sort of break the silence. But the governor's a very shrewd person, and he's certainly not going to pick among these Republicans at this point.
I understand, talking to a senior Giuliani person about 3 or 4 months ago, he is very high on Giuliani's list of a potential running mate.
Susan, I have a question for you about Romney. You talked about Floridians and taxes. And has there been much talk about Romney's position on taxes? He's raised taxes in Massachusetts quite a bit, costing residents and businesses over $1 billion in new taxes. Has that come out at all?
It's starting to come out, but the comparison kinds of ads and dialogue is just now coming to the forefront as the attention of the national media hones in on our state. There will certainly be ample attacks about that by his opponents, because let me just say that we saw the economy surface in Florida as a number one issue well before it hit the top of the national charts. And Florida right now has property tax problems, homeowners insurance problems, affordable housing issues with people A recent poll showed one-fifth of Floridians say they'd like to leave. It's a pocketbook kind of election here.
Susan McManus is with us. She is a political science professor at the University of South Florida and one of the top political analysts working for WFLA, the NBC affiliate in Tampa, 1-800-723-8289. Rudy Giuliani has said that thus far, Florida is the true microcosm of the whole country. Thus far, I want to hear more about that when we roll on from Chicago. I'm Bruce Dumont, 1-800-723-8289.
For free confidential small business advice, call SCORE at 800-634-0245 or log on to score.org. Every year, thousands of people get help from SCORE when starting or growing their companies, and you can be one of them.
My SCORE counselor taught me how to create a business plan and make sound financial projections so that I could get a small business loan. I don't think I could have approached my bank so confidently without SCORE's help.
SCORE mentors can help with business planning, cash flow management, and market analysis.
My SCORE mentor walked me through the steps of identifying a market, researching the competition, pricing my product, and so much more.
Call SCORE at 800-634-0245 to meet with experts who have been in your shoes.
All I really needed was a sounding board for my ideas, someone I could trust. My SCORE counselor talked me through my business questions and gave me the courage I needed to expand.
If you're a small business owner or thinking about starting a company, call SCORE today, 800-634-0245, or visit score.org for free confidential advice. SCORE is a nonprofit association and a resource partner with the U.S. Small Business Administration.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. 1-800-723-8289. Tom Pence, you had a follow-up question for Susan McManus.
Susan, does the national media spotlight help or hurt Giuliani?
I think it helps because I think it reminds people again of his candidacy and that it is a unique strategy, and that probably will appeal to some Floridians.
You know, one thing everybody's forgetting is that this presidential primary is totally different than all the presidential primaries
right.
before, with the sequence of the primaries in the states. And so, you know, it makes a lot of sense that you would change your strategy when the sequence of the primaries is different.
Also, what's going to happen, by the way, Super Tuesday, which is the 5th of February, there are 2,064 Democratic delegates that are up just on that day. Republicans have 1,081. There are 24 states that have primaries
or caucuses. And when you look at those states, I mean, they're large states: Massachusetts, New York, Illinois, California, Colorado, Minnesota, and Missouri. And it seems to me, in looking at the way this race is going right now, is it's possible, because Arkansas votes that day as well. I mean, the Republican candidates, there's virtually everybody that's probably going to have some good news to report that night.
And they're going to have to concentrate on this state or that.
Yes, but again, when you're talking about the big, big states, and you're talking about New York, Illinois, California, and New Jersey, three of those four states have maybe and have a natural constituency for Giuliani. And so I think his belief from the get-go is that if I can get jump-started in Florida a week later, I'm going to be able to crow the most about doing the best in the large states.
And that's also his detriment, too, because if he doesn't do well in Florida, then none of that takes place.
Yep. Let's talk about that. How would that be viewed, in your view, Susan, if Rudy doesn't win? Has he raised the stakes so high that a slip on the banana peel here and he's over already?
Well, it certainly is going to be a half of a slip, if not a whole slip. But, you know, we're describing Florida as the leadoff hitter of the big state primaries. And it is true that we're the best microcosm of America in three very big important ways. One is in the racial and ethnic composition of Florida. The second is in the geographical mix between urban, rural, and suburban. And the third is in the age mix. And so, you know, a lot of these candidates will be looking at Florida and seeing how they're going to design their ads and their message for the states that follow. So it's going to be a domino effect after Florida, which means then that whoever wins big will have sort of the domino effect will help them down the way with the big states.
Who is, I mean, obviously we all know that Romney has big bucks, but has Giuliani conserved his dollars and what sort of media buys are going on? Because that's a tough state to campaign in because you have so many major and even secondary markets.
We have 10 media markets, and it's said
Amazing.
That you have to spend about $1 million a week to be really be competitive. And I just read today that Giuliani's pumping $600,000 in the next couple days. Romney's already spent millions, but mainly the bio kinds of ads that introduced him to people in the state. Huckabee's bought a few ads in some markets. But let me tell you, the TV stations down here are saying, bring it on, because they really need this revenue.
Yeah, and wait, are there going to be enough hotel rooms when the national media shows up?
Well, you know, the Tampa Bay area where I am is the key part of the key state, and the I-4 corridor between Daytona and Tampa Bay is the critical piece of geography that we laughingly call the highway to heaven. And all the candidates have already come on Florida television and said they're going to really work the highway to heaven this week.
And again, just to take us a little bit more around the rest of the state, where are the obviously South Florida and primarily Miami is where most of the Cubans live, correct?
Yes, and then the non-Cuban Hispanics, which are now almost equal in number to Cubans, are concentrated heavily in the South Florida area, but also around the Orlando area, particularly the large Puerto Rican population, and a lot of the Latinos that live in that area work in the Disney complex, and they've become very important politically in recent years.
Because of the controversy involving the Democrat and the decision that the National Democratic Party was going to penalize Floridians, what does that do to Florida in the general election? Are people ticked off that the Democrats have treated them in such a shabby way?
Well, polls have shown that about one-fifth of Floridians, at least when the polls were taken, this was before Christmas, said that it would affect their vote in November. But I don't think anybody really expects that to hold up, because once when the choices are made known, people will re-choose, I think, and I don't think it'll really make that much difference. But the real quick question here is, are Florida Democrats angry enough to send a message to the national audience about their treatment and have a high turnout? And the party is working very, very hard to make that happen.
You said something a little while ago, and I want you to expand on it. You said that the Republican primary could be affected by what the Democrats do in South Carolina.
Right. Should Hillary Clinton win in South Carolina, which she is not expected to do right now, but some are now rethinking that, if, say she does, then she will have won big, and that may affect the Republicans in Florida, like everywhere else, are looking at electability. So if it looks like the Hillary train is a nonstop train, then they may look at who can, again, be the most likely to beat her in the general election.
Which has been a core of what Giuliani's been arguing.
Right, and McCain is now starting to get some traction with that argument as well.
Right. Listen, Susan, I thank you very much. Susan McManus, professor of public administration and political science at the University of South Florida and a political analyst for WFLA in Tampa. Susan, thank you very much. Hopefully, maybe next Sunday we'll call you back and get kind of an update. We appreciate very much.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye. Lee Newcomb has been with us. He is for Mike Huckabee. Tim Wright's been here. He is for Hillary Clinton. Tom Pence is here. He has been for Rudy Giuliani. And the ever-popular Cliff Kelly, he's been carrying the water. He's not endorsing anybody.
Well,
but obviously
endorsing
very strong, right. Very strong right. For his good friend,
yeah.
Barack Obama.
Absolutely.
This evening. This program is a Jenny B. production produced in association with WLS Talk Radio and Wilbur Entertainment. Our thanks to Patrick Johnson and Tom Vera Cruz and Stephanie Lutche for their assistance in the production of this program. We will see you next week. We'll have a winner in South Carolina for the Democrats. I'm Bruce Dumont. Good night from Chicago. When was the last time someone offered you a second chance to save thousands of dollars? If you owe the IRS or state at least $15,000, American Tax Relief is offering you a second chance to eliminate up to 85% of your delinquent taxes. Thousands of honest, hardworking Americans have turned to American Tax Relief for the help they need. Look, your tax problem isn't going to go away. In fact, it's only going to get worse unless you get help. Call 1-800-449-1415 for a one-time professional fee. American Tax Relief can get you the second chance you've never had before to save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Get the second chance you deserve and save up to 85% on your delinquent taxes. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation to see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-449-1415. That's 1-800-449-1415.
For free confidential small business advice, call SCORE at 800-634-0245 or log on to score.org. Every year, thousands of people get help from SCORE when starting or growing their companies, and you can be one of them.
My SCORE counselor taught me how to create a business plan and make sound financial projections so that I could get a small business loan. I don't think I could have approached my bank so confidently without SCORE's help.
SCORE mentors can help with business planning, cash flow management, and market analysis.
My SCORE mentor walked me through the steps of identifying a market, researching the competition, pricing my product, and so much more.
Call SCORE at 800-634-0245 to meet with experts who have been in your shoes.
All I really needed was a sounding board for my ideas, someone I could trust. My SCORE counselor talked me through my business questions and gave me the courage I needed to expand.
If you're a small business owner or thinking about starting a company, call SCORE today, 800-634-0245, or visit score.org for free confidential advice. SCORE is a nonprofit association and a resource partner with the U.S. Small Business Administration.
It's time to stop what you're doing and go red for women.
Go red.
Start loving your heart today. Visit goredforwomen.org.
Go red.
And take the Go Red Heart Checkup. Get to know your own heart.
Go red.
The American Heart Association invites you to help stop heart disease.
Go red.
To go red for women and give your heart the love it deserves.
My name is Teresa. I was a good mother. Then I tried meth and quickly became addicted. I abandoned my little girl to chase my next high. 8 months later, my daughter begged me to come home. Her plea made me enter drug treatment. My recovery wasn't easy, but I've been clean for 4 years now.
Meth is a powerful drug that affects everyone. If you know someone who's using, get involved. Treatment is available and it works. For more information, visit methresources.gov or call 800-662-HELP. Sponsored by Office of National Drug Control Policy.